You're listening to Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom with Gary Bauer, Senior Vice President of Public Policy here at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. I'm Roger Marsh, and this week on the program, we're going to take a look at some fascinating things that are happening on Capitol Hill in honor of the holiest time of year for us as Christians, Holy Week. Gary, I know you've got a full dance card this week. Well, I'm welcoming you to your broadcast, but there's so much for us to navigate through. I'm going to do a little play-by-play and have you do the color commentary this week. But welcome to the Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom podcast, Gary Bauer. Oh.
Well, thank you, Roger. I've always wondered what it felt like to be welcomed to my podcast, and now I know. It's a great job, as always. Well, you hit the nail on the head, Roger. I've been in Washington, D.C. just so long, as people know, and been trying to fight the good fight. I've seen a lot of things. Some of it's been depressing. Some of it's been inspiring. What happened this year, as we were experiencing Holy Week and leading up to Easter, has just been extraordinary. And unlike anything, quite frankly, I've seen come out of the White House in all the time that I've been in Washington.
And we're talking going back four decades plus with Gary's experience. To set the stage here, what we have for you, we'll post it at our website at drjamesdobson.org and the Policy Center page as well, is the Presidential Message on Holy Week 2025. And what caused so much consternation last year for people in the body of Christ is that Easter Sunday was on March 31st, and that is also the day that's known as the Transgender Day of Visibility. And the White House, in a very tone-deaf mode last year, of course, different president, issued a statement on that and didn't really mention Easter at all. So what we're about to get into here was a statement that was released on Palm Sunday, April 13th, by President Trump. And as I read it, I want to get your reaction to this, because there are several points here that I don't want us to run through too quickly. So here's how the message began. The president wrote, "This Holy Week, Melania and I join in prayer with Christians celebrating the crucifixion and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the living Son of God, who conquered death, freed us from sin, and unlocked the gates of heaven for all of humanity." Now, before I go any further, Gary, can you ever remember a president starting his Holy Week address like that, just basically saying, look, this is the gospel being proclaimed from 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue?
No, I can't, Roger. And look, some people may be listening and saying to themselves, well, what's the big deal about that paragraph? They say that at our church all the time. Well, that's the point. A lot of Christians that have served in government, including Christian presidents, Ronald Reagan was a Christian, George W. Bush was a Christian, even they somewhat bought into this idea that being a Christian in government meant that maybe you prayed, but when it comes to Easter and Christmas and Thanksgiving, you had to talk to the American people in a way that wouldn't offend anybody else.
Exactly.
And the more diverse the country becomes, the more you had to water everything down. I've always rejected that idea. Most Americans aren't afraid to hear or offended to hear about what is motivating somebody else's heart and soul. And I guess in that sense, it shouldn't be a surprise that President Trump, who doesn't really spend a lot of time worrying about what other people think, in this case, really worked to the advantage of those of us that are followers of Jesus Christ. Because in that first paragraph, he makes it absolutely clear that he and the First Lady are followers of Jesus Christ, and that's why they are so excited about the Holy Week and Easter.
President Trump's Holy Week message continued in the second paragraph when he wrote, "Beginning with Christ's triumphal entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday and culminating in the Paschal Triduum, which begins on Holy Thursday or Maundy Thursday with the Mass of the Lord's Supper, followed by Good Friday and reaching its pinnacle in the Easter Vigil on Holy Saturday night, this week is a time of reflection for Christians to memorialize Jesus' crucifixion and to prepare their hearts, minds, and souls for his miraculous resurrection from the dead." Again, Gary, I haven't heard this bold a proclamation from the pulpit recently, and yet this is coming from the Oval Office, from President Trump, and the Council on Faith and Values, and I mean, the one that you serve on. There's a Christian influence in the White House like you've never seen before. I've never seen it before.
Yes, no, you're absolutely right. Look, to prepare our hearts, minds, and souls for his, capital H, miraculous resurrection from the dead. The President of the United States, for all the world to see and every American to hear, just affirmed the central teaching of our faith,
amen,
which is that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, and Satan had no time to celebrate before he could blink his eyes. Christ was risen, and by rising from the dead and defeating death, the whole history of mankind has been changed. To hear the president say this clearly, is just amazing. Roger, a little earlier in the week, I heard Franklin Graham responding to this, and Franklin Graham could hardly get a sentence out. He said, "I am so proud of the president. Millions of us have been praying for the president." And then Franklin Graham said something that I think helps explain the boldness of this statement. Franklin Graham said the president believes, and I, Franklin Graham, agree, that God saved the president from the assassin's bullet in Butler, Pennsylvania, and it has quickened the president's Christian faith.
It's amazing when you think about what he wrote about just in these first two opening paragraphs. And today on Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom, Gary Bauer and I are walking through the president's message for Holy Week that came right from the White House on Palm Sunday. And the third paragraph, I think, is even more exegesis, if you will, what he wrote. "During this sacred week, we acknowledge that the glory of Easter Sunday cannot come without the sacrifice Jesus Christ made on the cross. In his final hours on earth, Christ willingly endured excruciating pain, torture, and execution on the cross out of a deep and abiding love for all his creation. Through his suffering, we have redemption. Through his death, we have forgiveness of our sins. Through his resurrection, we have hope of eternal life. On Easter morning, the stone is rolled away. The tomb is empty, and light prevails over darkness, signaling that death does not have the final word." Gary, if you heard those explosions going on in the background, I think those were the heads of liberal Christians and never Trumpers who are saying, "Hey, you can't be a Christian and vote for Donald Trump." Well, I will respectfully beg to differ after reading even just the first part of this message, and there's more we haven't gotten into yet, but what a profound proclamation of the true gospel and why Easter is so important from the President of the United States.
I couldn't have said it any better, Roger. You know, you mentioned that some of this would be a sermon, right?
Yes.
Look, we're all aware. Dr. Dobson has spoken about this. JDFI's been very concerned about it, that even in the church, there's a drift away from the central tenets of the faith. You go into some of these churches that hang out various flags outside for one cause or another. Most of the causes are not consistent with the message of the Bible or any teachings of Jesus. And you're unlikely in those churches to hear a presentation of the gospel that is as clear as this statement that you are reading paragraphs from. You mentioned this, and I do believe this is true, that the president has this faith office. A woman named Jenny Korn runs it day to day, and he demanded that faith office report directly to him. That's very unusual. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to go through the chief of staff or anybody else. And I think this shows the influence of that office in helping the president navigate all this. Roger, we talked not too long ago. The Secretary of Transportation went to an academy where there was an iconic painting of Jesus with sailors that were in the middle of a storm. And that painting had been put in the basement and covered up because some atheist group complained. And the Trump administration has ordered the Maritime Academy to get Jesus out of the basement and put him back up on the wall where he was before. And when I look at this statement from the White House, Donald Trump has gotten Jesus out of the basement at the White House
Amen.
And has brought him back up into the Oval Office.
I love that. And we're talking with Gary Bauer about the president's Holy Week message, a message that was purposely, delivered to the American people on Palm Sunday, April the 13th, 2025. And as we were recounting earlier in our podcast here on Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom, the fact that the White House in 2024 just completely whiffed. And Gary, you can't call it we weren't really paying attention to the calendar. Everyone knows when Easter is, just like everyone, I think most Americans know when Christmas is, when Ramadan is, when some of the larger holidays are for different religions. And the fact that the president has taken it upon himself in both of his terms, when he was 45th president and 47th president, to make religious liberty a real centerpiece of everything that he has done. I know that from your position as our Senior Vice President of Public Policy here at the James Dobson Family Institute, you're watching to see, of course, what's happening in terms of the culture, but also to how it impacts us from policy perspective. And this next paragraph, it made me think of you, and I want to get your reaction. It's a brief one, but it's powerful. President Trump wrote, "This Holy Week, my administration renews its promise to defend the Christian faith in our schools, military, workplaces, hospitals, and halls of government," as you just mentioned, the Maritime Academy. "We will never waver in safeguarding the right to religious liberty, upholding the dignity of life, and protecting God in our public square." Now, I'm sure that has to make your policymaker's heart just sing, knowing that this is a public declaration from the Trump administration saying, this is our policy and religious liberty is key.
That's exactly right, Roger. Look, we all love to vote for people that, through things that they say, we're led to believe that they are also followers of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The experts call that identity politics. If somebody could quote a Bible verse completely accurately, a lot of Christians will say, "Wow, that guy reads the Bible. That's good enough for me."
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's better than having somebody that doesn't care about the Bible at all. But of course, at the end of the day, what we want are policies that are consistent with what we believe. Policies that promote the sanctity of life and strong marriages and reliable standards of right and wrong and the dignity and value and worth of every human being because they're made in the image of God. And among all these things we care about in public policy is a elected official committed to religious liberty? And Donald Trump said he was. He said when he's campaigned that he would put judges on the courts that would defend religious liberty. And here he is in this Easter message reaffirming that promise. And I know we've noticed that in these opening weeks and months of his second term, that the president has followed through on his promises. He issued pardons to pro-life Christians that have been thrown in jail
Yes.
because they demonstrated at abortion clinics. And they reinstated a chaplain at Walter Reed Hospital that was disciplined in the Biden administration because the chaplain preached a sermon that emphasized Jesus. Well, what's a chaplain supposed to do,
right?
So he's doing things all the time. And in this statement, he makes it clear he's going to continue to do that. You've mentioned looking back on last year. I don't want to dwell on last year, but I will mention this. Joe Biden did issue a statement last year. It was about, 90 words, and you had to search between the lines to find Christ. The statement they issued at the same time on Transgender Visibility Day was 700 words long.
Wow.
And used phrases like extraordinarily courageous, part of the fabric of our nation, deserving of dignity and respect, not about Jesus, but about individuals that are lost in this transgender ideology. These are words that never came out of the previous administration, talking about the central figure of our faith, the Son of God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So what happened last year and what is happening, what's happened here in 2025, it's the difference between night and day. And by the way, Roger, we've talked privately about this. The whole week, it's all been about Easter. There's a the special dinner at the White House, Easter dinner. Only 40 people were able to attend because of the smallness of the venue. And because the James Dobson Family Institute and Dr. Dobson are so highly thought of by this administration and by many people in Washington, I've had the great honor of being invited and being part of that dinner. This week was an Easter service at the White House, including people like Franklin Graham and Pastor Greg Laurie and Pastor Jensen Franklin. Easter service was to give the staff an opportunity to worship because many of them aren't going to have a chance to go home. They'll have to work. The world doesn't stop, even on these sacred days. So this has just been amazing.
It's incredible when you mention, Gary, the company that God has allowed you to keep, of course, because of the relationship with the White House and JDFI and Dr. Dobson. And when I think of names like Franklin Graham and Jensen Franklin and Greg Laurie, and these are all dear friends of ours, too. I mean, it must feel like a great reunion every time you're invited to the White House, like you were this week, to be a part of these events and see people that you know and know that the work of the James Dobson Family Institute, especially as it pertains to public policy, a lot of people don't realize how it goes hand in glove. I mean, doctor's passionate about his love for our country and for preserving the family and for stronger marriages and better parent-child relationships. But policy really informs that. And you and he both came to a greater understanding of that during your terms with the Reagan years and then moving on and continuing on. I mean, we've had our hand in that. Not to say that we're meddling in policy per se, but actually in terms of informing it. And, you know, that's something I don't want to gloss over. And I know you're too humble to take a lot of credit for that. So let me, Proverbs says, let another man praise you. So I'll go ahead and thank you on behalf of all of us, Gary, for the great work that you're doing on Capitol Hill right now.
Well, you said it just like I wrote it down for you, Roger. That was that's very nice of you to say that. I appreciate that. I will always have these fond memories of how Dr. Dobson and I met each other early on through the Reagan administration and both the things we were doing. And there's been this lifetime friendship and an alliance fighting for faith, family, and freedom. That's what Dr. Dobson has always cared about and continues to care about it today. And it's one of the things that has been such a bond between us and our families.
Gary, as we bring our time to a close here, I want to read the conclusion of President Trump's Holy Week message, because this whole week has just been spectacular, starting with this declaration on Palm Sunday, talking about Christ's sacrifice and the importance of celebrating Easter. And this is how President Trump ended this week's message when he wrote, "As we focus on Christ's redeeming sacrifice, we look to his love, humility, and obedience, even in life's most difficult and uncertain moments. This week, we pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon our beloved nation. We pray that America will remain a beacon of faith, hope, and freedom for the entire world. And we pray to achieve a future that reflects the truth, beauty, and goodness of Christ's eternal kingdom in heaven. May God bless you and your family during this special time of year, and may he continue to bless the United States of America." I couldn't help but notice, Gary, that there was that one little phrase there at the end of that last paragraph where this is where I think the kind of leftist, liberal, progressive Christianity loses its focus. And when he said, "We pray to achieve a future that reflects the truth, beauty, and goodness of Christ's eternal kingdom in heaven," as opposed to our carnal and material wants here on earth. Sometimes we do spend a lot of time trying to deify things that aren't and ignoring the things of God. Here's President Donald Trump saying to the American people, "We are praying to achieve the future that reflects Christ's eternal kingdom in heaven here on earth." That sounds like the Lord's Prayer to me.
It does sound like the Lord's Prayer. And, you know, I've had the opportunity, Dr. Dobson, I believe over the years has too, of being with a small group to pray over the president for his wisdom and that his faith would quicken and that he would be able to correctly handle the incredible challenges facing our country. And I know millions of people around the country pray for whoever is president of the United States.
Amen.
And they certainly have prayed for this one. And I believe we are seeing the results of those prayers. I think that this is a man who, as time goes on and he's lived his own life and the events that have transpired, including the assassination attempts, I think this is a man that is more and more relying on the Lord. And that's good for him and for his soul. And at a time that America is facing right now, it's good for our country.
You know, one of the things, Gary, as we conclude, and I want to get your comment on this, one of the things that I've noticed in President Trump 47 versus President Trump 45 is, and I'll use this term, I think graciously as I can, there's a greater sense of humility in Donald Trump's presidency in this time around than there was in 45. There was very little humility in Donald Trump in President 45. I think most of us would acknowledge that. He's bold and brash, and you know, that's the way he operated. But this is a different guy. You've spent time with the president recently, as a matter of fact, as part of these councils, you've had interaction with him. But take the final moments, if you will, as we talk about the humility of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for Easter, how humility really is kind of having a heyday and a renaissance at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue as well.
Yeah, there's no question about it. You know, I've had over these years, I've had many opportunities to spend some time with him. Now, I've always found that privately, he's not as brash as sometimes he would be publicly, particularly mm-hmm. in his first incarnation yes. as Trump 45. But his brashness during those years was evident, and I think it was probably in many cases counterproductive for him. It made it harder for people to see who he really was. In recent years, when I've been with him, this is a man who I believe God's touched his heart. He's more friendly. He's more outgoing. He's more inquiring about the other people in the room. He wants to do things for you. He keeps giving things away when people go in, and you have to literally say, well, no, Mr. President, I'm not sure you should give that away. I think that's supposed to stay here permanently, you know? Look, we all have these experiences. I knew Ronald Reagan before the assassination attempt. I worked for him after the assassination attempt. He was a much more focused president after that near-death experience. And I think there's a lot of historic evidence, you know, that all you go all the way back to George Washington, who almost died in the French and Indian War, and the people of the colonies concluded that God had saved his life. It's a long story, but I think Washington believed God had saved his life too. And that ended up being the father of our country, right? So I think that Donald Trump has concluded that God saved his life and that there are things God wants him to do. And I think we're seeing evidence of some of the things that Donald Trump thinks God wants him to do when we see what happened during Holy Week 2025.
Well, this is a powerful presentation from Donald Trump and the declaration of the gospel coming from the Oval Office that we are wise to pay attention to and to see what God is doing from the White House on down. And Gary Bauer, thank you for letting me hijack your program yet again this week to ask you some fascinating questions about what you've experienced even just this week with Holy Week celebrations that you were privileged to be a part of, and also what the president has written. Gary, thank you for the work that you do on behalf of the church and also on behalf of the James Dobson Family Institute on Capitol Hill.
Thank you, Roger. Great to be with you always. And I'm proud to be on the same team with you. God bless you.
God bless you as well, Gary. And from all of us here on behalf of Dr. Dobson and the entire team here at the James Dobson Family Institute, hope you have a wonderful and happy Easter celebration for you and your family. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed.
Amen.
Subscribe to Gary Bauer's Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom, where you find your favorite podcasts. Just hit the subscribe button to ensure you receive every episode.